Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In these lessons, Rick shows us from God's Word how to have great faith and live with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when your circumstances appear hopeless. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a DVD study kit that will inspire and encourage you in your walk with the Lord called Everything is Possible with God. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When You Can't See Your Way Clearly.
It's interesting that Jesus never in his entire ministry held a healing rally. Not once. Never did he pass out flyers and say, tonight at the stadium at the Sea of Galilee, for one night only, Jesus Christ. Everybody bring your friends. He never did miracles from a stage, never did miracles for an audience. He never did miracles to show off. In fact, this is going to surprise you. Every single healing Jesus did was an interruption. It was an unplanned interruption. Not once did he say, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and heal a bunch of people. He was doing different things, and on his way, people of need would come to him privately and personally, and he would deal with them privately and personally. Sometimes other people saw it, but he never did it for an audience. Does that make sense? Okay, he always did it personally, one-on-one, never to draw a crowd. Not once. Not once. Now, the third thing I want you to notice is miracles happen when somebody cares. Miracles happen when we get close to Jesus. And then the third phrase, it says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Circle the phrase, led him. The third thing we learn is that miracles happen when we trust Jesus to lead us. Now, if this guy hadn't let Jesus lead him outside the village, he would have never seen the miracle. But Jesus takes the blind man by the hand. See how personal this is? He takes Jesus, the man by the hand, blind man, very personal, and leads him outside the village. Now, why did he do that? Because Jesus didn't want a crowd. He wasn't doing this to show off. He said, let's do this personally, okay? Let's just do this privately. So come with me. And he takes the guy outside the village. Jesus is popular. He doesn't need any crowds. He doesn't need the adulation of other people. He just says, come with me, and he takes him in a private one-on-one conversation. He heals the guy. He didn't need the attention. What he was doing was healing the guy and teaching his 12 disciples. Now imagine you're this blind man. Your friends have taken you to a guy you don't know about, and all of a sudden the guy says, here, come with me, and he grabs your hand, and he's leading you. Now, you're blind. So, A, you don't know who it is, and B, you don't know where he's taking you, and C, you don't know how long the trip's going to take. Some of you feel that way right now. I have no idea what God's doing in my life. I have no idea where he's taking me. I have no idea how long it's going to take. Congratulations, you're getting ready for a miracle. Congratulations. This is called the walk of faith. When you can't see, but God can. You can't see where Jesus is taking you. All you have to do is hang on. That's all you need to do. And you're blind and you need to trust Jesus. He's not going to walk over into a ditch. He's not going to take you into a lion's den. He knows where he's taking you. He loves you. He knows what you need better than you do. Now, this miracle is very unusual and it's very unique. First place, this miracle is unusual because in the way Jesus healed blind people, he never ever did it this way. So this way, there's no other miracle like this in the Bible where Jesus heals a blind person the way he did. And he had healed lots and lots and lots and lots of blind people. Many of them just said, be healed. And that was it. So it's a very unusual healing. Second, it's unique. This is the only time in the Bible where Jesus heals a guy in stages. In other words, gradually, stage one, stage two, where it's a progressive miracle, where it's an incremental miracle. Now, obviously, Jesus could have healed him just like that because he did it to everybody else. So it's not like this isn't working. This is for a purpose. Everything Jesus did, he had a purpose behind. He had an intentional reason behind it. And he's trying, remember, every miracle has a message. He's trying to teach the disciples something about spiritual vision. At the same time, he's healing this guy. So he's using a visual object lesson of this man. And so he does this miracle in stages. And it's rich with meaning. It's the only progressive miracle in the Bible. Now let's look at it. Mark 8:22. It's unusual and it's unique. First it says, then Jesus spit on the man's eyes. How many would say that's unusual? Yeah. If a guy's blind, I would not think spitting in his eye would be the way to heal him. Now, we think, man, that is gross. But it's not only gross. If you've ever been to the Middle East, you know spitting is incredibly offensive. If you spit on someone in the Middle East, it means you're dirt, man. You're dirt. This is not culturally, this is not an example of love. It's the exact opposite from what it appears to be. Because spitting meant you're less than a human being. I reject you. I revile you. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't doing that. So he's got a reason behind it. Why did Jesus spit in this guy's eye? I don't know. It's one of those, when I get to heaven, I got it on my list. Now, Lord, why did you do this? That did not seem cool. It did actually seem a little gross to me. Why? I don't know. I've read at least a dozen different scholars, and they've all got good ideas. I don't like them. I mean, one of my ideas I just came up with, I thought, you know what? The guy's blind, and if he's leading him along, now that means if he's blind, he can't see anything he's doing. So if Jesus goes, woo, you know, he's not going to see that. But if you're blind, you would certainly feel moisture. Okay, you'd certainly feel moisture. I don't really know. It doesn't even bother me. All I know is that he had a reason for it, and it was very unusual. So, and the only time he ever did it, healing a blind man. Then Jesus spit on the man's eyes, and he put his hands on him. And then he asked, do you see anything? Now the man looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. In other words, I'm not totally blind anymore, but I just see shapes. And so this guy's vision is blurred, okay? And Jesus says, do you see anything? He says, well, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Now, Jesus is not satisfied with partial vision here, okay? And so it says here, so Jesus put his hands on the man a second time. Only time Jesus ever did this. And then his eyes were opened fully. His sight was restored completely. And he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, don't go back into town. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn three lessons about seeing with spiritual eyes. We learn three lessons about seeing life clearly. Your family, your husband, your wife, your job, your future, God, yourself. Three lessons. Would you write these down? Number one, my spiritual vision grows in stages. That's the first thing Jesus is modeling. It's not instantaneous. It's incremental. Spiritual vision grows in stages. It's gradual. It's progressive. As I said, you don't see everything clearly instantly in life. You see it incrementally. If I could, and if I did, was able to, I'd give you a pill that you could take, that all of a sudden, everything would make sense in your life. And you go, oh, now I know why that happened. Now I know why I have these problems. Now I know why I'm having this conflict. Now I know what you want to do in the future. God, I got it all. Thank you, 10-4, good buddy. This is great. And I understand everything. But it doesn't happen that way. Spiritual vision, insight, wisdom grows over time in stages. It's incremental, it's progressive, and it is gradual if you're growing spiritually. Now, if you've been growing spiritually, you see life a lot clearer than you did 10 years ago. If you don't see life any clearer than you did 10 years ago, you are not growing spiritually. As I said, Jesus wasn't satisfied with this guy having blurred vision. He says, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, "Well, I see people, but they kind of look like trees walking around." So Jesus puts his hand on him a second time. Now, here's the second truth we learn from this. The test of my vision is how I see other people. The test of spiritual vision is how I see others. My spiritual vision grows in stages, but the test of my vision is how I see other people. It's the number one way you know you're looking at life from God's viewpoint. How you see other people. The number one test of your maturity is not how much Bible you know. It is not how often you go to church. It is not whether you're in a small group. It is not whether you serve or tithe or pray. Or the number one test, acid test of your maturity, your vision, is your relationships. How you see other people. Because it's all about love. So let me ask you some very pointed questions. Do you see your spouse the way God does? Do you see your spouse the way God does, or do you see him the way you do? How does God see your spouse? Valuable, acceptable, lovable, forgivable, deeply loved. Is that the way you see your spouse? How about other people around you? What do you see when you look at other people? When you're driving in to Saddleback and you're rushing for a parking spot, do you see people as rivals? Do you see them as irritations? Do you see them as burdens? The people you work with, do you see them as enemies? Do you see them as competition? Or do you see them the way God sees them? Saddleback Church was built on the idea, on the concept, on the truth of God's word, that every person is valuable. Every person matters to God. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, or even what they believe. Christ died for them. Jesus loves them. God has a plan for their life, and he wants them to know him. Everybody matters. There are no little people. There are no insignificant people. The Bible says when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Are you there yet? Three lessons about seeing life clearly. Spiritual growth, spiritual vision happens in stages. The test of my vision is how I see others. And the third thing is that Jesus heals my sight three ways. You might write these down. There are three ways when Jesus touches you and he changes the way you see things, it changes three ways. Number one, my focus gets sharper. My focus gets sharper. The Bible says that when Jesus touched this man, his eyes were opened. That's not even that good of a translation. His eyes were opened. Literally, in the Greek, it means he fixed his focus. That's what it says in Greek. He fixed his focus. New American Standard says he looked intently. Intentionally. Another translation says he looked with purpose. Another translation says he stared. The Amplified says he focused his attention in a very, you know, concentrated way, like a laser. What's happening here? What's Jesus pointing out? That when really you get touched by Jesus, your life gets focused. Now, if your life is out of focus right now, it means you're not being touched by Jesus. If you say, my life is really unfocused, and I got this going on, and 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 I'm distracted, and I got all kinds of different things, and I have no focus in my life, you need to be touched by Jesus. Because the first thing that happens when he touches you, your focus gets sharper. Your life becomes more focused the more you see life from God's viewpoint. Second thing that happens, my perspective gets larger. That's another way he heals my sight. My perspective gets larger. Notice it says his sight was restored completely. In other words, complete vision, full vision. And what happens when Christ really takes over your life? And not just, I believe in Jesus, I know about Jesus. When you let him take over your life, you are surrendered, you are submitted to his will. What happens? All of a sudden, I see the big picture. I see the big picture. And I have found in my own life that the closer I get to Christ, the more I see the big picture. Most people have about that much vision in life. They've got a little small parochial me, myself and I viewpoint, and they don't see the big picture. They don't get the big perspective. Why? Because they're not looking at life from God's viewpoint. My focus gets sharper, my perspective gets larger, and the third thing Jesus does when he heals my sight is my vision gets clearer. My vision gets clearer. The third thing he said, it said his eyes were focused, his sight was restored completely, and he saw everything clearly. No cloudy vision, no corrupted vision, no just a clear vision. Because when Jesus takes over your life, you get a focus, you get a framework, oh, that's what makes sense, and you get foresight. How do I get that? You need to pray the prayer of Job. Job 34, 22. It's up here on the screen. Job 34, 22. Let's read it aloud together with great enthusiasm. Teach me what I cannot see, and if I've done wrong, I won't do it again. That's a prayer. Let's say it again. Teach me what I cannot see, and if I've done wrong, I won't do it again. Job 34, 32. Now, I want us to memorize part of this verse today because I want you to make it a prayer this entire next week. So we're just going to memorize the part, teach me what I cannot see. Okay, teach me, let's say that three times. Teach me what I cannot see. Okay, say this to God in your mind. Teach me what I cannot see. One more time. Teach me what I cannot see. Now, always the hard part in a memorized verse, as I said, is the address, which is where do you find it in the scriptures? And it's Job 34, 32. Those of you guys, just think, imagine yourself being a quarterback calling a play. Job 34, 22. 32. Okay, you ready? Hut, hut. Job 34, 30, 32. Hut. Okay, now you know that play. That's a good play. Job 34, 32. Okay, so let's say it together. Job 34, 32, teach me what I cannot see. Job 34, 22. I want you to pray that every day this week. 32. You know when it's time to go to the dentist? 2:30. Wow, that's really stretching back. Okay. When you're going to work this week and you're driving the car, Lord, teach me what I cannot see. When you're in an argument, Lord, teach me what I cannot see. When you don't know what to say to a friend who's grieving, teach me what I cannot see. Because you can't see everything, but you can pray and God can see. Lord, teach me what I cannot see. So Jesus gives us a misunderstanding, and he uses that, and then he gives us a miracle. Finally, Jesus uses a clarifying question to correct our vision. Mark chapter 8, this is after the miracle. Then Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. This is about 25 miles away from Bethsaida. And on the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And his disciples replied, "Well, Lord, some people say you're John the Baptist, who, by the way, had his head cut off. So he's dead. And by the way, his head is in the mosque in Damascus. I've actually been in it, there where they have preserved where the head of John the Baptist supposedly was taken after he was killed by Herod in Jerusalem. Some people say you're John the Baptist. And others say, Lord, you're Elijah. That's the guy we talked about last week, who lived 900 years before Jesus. And still others say you're one of the other prophets. Isn't it interesting that people are often more willing to believe he was a dead prophet come back to life than who he claimed to be? People want to believe anything about Jesus except who he was. Oh, I believe he's John the Baptist. Yeah, he got his head cut off last week, but that's probably who he is. No. So then Jesus said, but what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. What's that? Christ and Messiah, the same word for Son of God. Not a nice guy, not a good prophet, Son of God. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are God's Son. Now, why did Jesus ask this question? Write this down. Last thing. How I see Jesus determines how clearly I see everything else. How I see Jesus determines how clearly I see everything else. You see, friends, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, like we talked about on Easter, then he's the biggest con man who ever lived. He's a liar. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the Son of God, and I'm going to prove it by coming back to life 3 days later after I let them kill me. And he came back and for 40 days walked around Jerusalem, met with different groups. One time met with 500 people. For 6 weeks walked around. He's back. That would have been kind of weird, particularly if I'd been one of the executioners. Oh, there he is. There's that guy I killed last week. Maybe I missed. If Jesus, see, everything in Christianity rises or falls on the resurrection. If that didn't happen, then Jesus could not be a good teacher. Well, I believe he was a good teacher. Well, he couldn't be, because good teachers don't walk around saying, I'm the Son of God. Either he is who he is, or he's a fraud, he's a con man. How I see Jesus affects how I see everything else. And if he's not God, then we should just close up shop and go home. If he is, he deserves my love and my trust and my total obedience. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when he grabs my hand and I'm blind, he says, follow me. And I'm going, I have no idea where he's taking me. I have no idea the job, the location. I have no idea about who I'm going to marry. I have no idea about what's going to happen on this health. But he's taken me by the hand. He said, come with me. You're about to have a miracle. The only thing Jesus cannot be in your life is moderately important. If he's not who he says he is, forget him. If he is who he says he is, you need to worship him. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Father, you know that I don't always see things clearly. My life needs more focus. I often miss the big picture. My perspective is limited. And Father, because I see others from my viewpoint instead of yours, I often have conflict and disappointment and pain. Jesus, I need you to touch my eyes and heal my blindness. Help me to see you as you really are. Help me to see myself as I really am. Help me to see others the way you love them. Forgive me for my pride and my short-term thinking. And all the times I forget the things you've done in my life and I start worrying again about the future. Help me to see what's really important in life. Help me to see what doesn't matter and what isn't worth getting stressed over. I want my life and vision to become more focused. I want to see the big picture. I want to have compassion for people and for the world the way you do. Thank you for this church family that helps me grow gradually in my own spiritual vision and allows me to be a part of your vision for what you want to do in the world. I pray this in your name. Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, how's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Did you know that God says you get to choose how much He blesses your life? God says, you believe and I'll bless. Our part is to believe, His part is to bless. And the Bible says in Matthew 9:29, this is a direct quote from Jesus, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's the key to starting the great adventure of following Jesus Christ in faith. So, if faith is so important, how does God build your faith? Well, He starts with a dream. And then He uses a very predictable six-step method, and He's used it throughout history, to lead you to fulfilling that dream. And that process always results in building up your character and your faith in Him. When you understand this process, then you can cooperate with it. Now, to help you understand the way that God builds your faith, I want to send you a study kit. It's called Everything is Possible with God. And it's a DVD and a study guide that will teach you how to cooperate with God's six phases of faith as He builds your character, deepens your faith, and enlarges your trust in Him. And I want to send this study to you. This kit, just as my thank you for your donation to Daily Hope. I just want to say again that it is your financial generosity that makes it possible for me to teach you and to teach other people all around the world. You know, this broadcast is going to places like refugee camps where they can't afford to pay for any broadcast at all. And when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping take the message of Christ to people who have no possible means of supporting it. So let me send this Everything is Possible with God study kit to you as just my way of sincerely saying to you, thank you.
In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.